The two easiest ways for agencies to recruit and retain federal employees are under attack from Congress. Pat Niehaus is national president of the Federal Managers Association, chief of labor and employee relations at Travis Air Force Base. She says House proposals to cut salaries by about 9% for federal employees that make at least $100,000 a year and switching retirement calculations from high three to high five, just two of the ways Congress is undermining your agency's workforce strategy. Pat, it's great to talk to you again. Thank you for coming on the program. You start off this piece in the Federal Times with one of my favorite phrases from Top 40 Radio, which is the hits just keep on coming. But it's kind of what it feels like, isn't it, Pat?
It really is. It seems like it's just never ending. If it's not our salaries, it's our retirement in one way or another or some other benefit. And it feels like we're under attack by the people who should be working with us to keep the government running and to keep the government strong.
The two things that you point out in this piece, we have a link to your column at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth, by the way. But the two things that you point out are things that have been bouncing around for a long time. One of them's relatively new. People have been talking about the possibility of the return to the high five from the high three for, maybe as long as a decade now. And until this year, it's never actually turned up on a piece of paper from a member of Congress. It's just kind of been one of those things that's like an internet rumor that people say could happen. Now that it is down on paper, do you think that makes it more possible that it could actually happen at some point?
I think so. I think in the past, like you said, it's just been a rumor and, you know, kind of a scare tactic with people. But now they've actually put forth a bill to actually do that. And I think that that's going to make a lot of us who are already retirement eligible take notice and to think about, you know, what impact that's going to have on us for the rest of our lives.
My fear is regarding that sentiment, Pat, is that there's also a number attached to it now. You write in this piece, it's estimated that the high three to high five would save the government $3.1 billion over 10 years.
That's the estimate in the bill, yes.
And it seems to me that if you're negotiating a bill and you need an offset of $3 billion somewhere, maybe this doesn't make it in to any other pieces of legislation, but if you need an offset somewhere, you go, oh, well, that one's got $3 billion attached to it. I can throw that in there. And it might
just attach it, yeah.
Yeah, and that might wind up being the way that this happens rather than the actual Government Employee Pension Reform Act, H.R. 1230, actually passing on its own.
And that's one of my concerns, too, is that they'll use it as a pay-for type clause in some other legislation.
I take some comfort in the other one that you write about. You write about the bill from Congressman Tom Rice. That's an 8.7% pay cut for federal employees that make $100,000 or more a year. I had the congressman on the program a little while back, and that interview is archived at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. You just search the name Tom Rice, and that interview comes right up. And I got a sense of two things from that conversation, Pat, that maybe will make you feel a little bit better. One of them is it seemed like it was directed more at his constituents in South Carolina than the federal workforce to say, hey, here's something that I'm doing to try to assuage your concerns, whatever they are. The other thing was there was not as much discernment as I would have hoped that a serious effort along this line would have taken. And so I think there will be plenty of folks in Congress, even on the Republican side, that would say, well, we probably don't want to do it that way. Because I asked the congressman, well, does this apply? First of all, it doesn't apply to anybody in uniform. And so I said, well, there are plenty of folks that aren't directly related to national, so they aren't on the front lines that are in uniform. Could they be included? Nope. Everybody in uniform is exempt. And then I said, well, what about folks like doctors and nurses and other healthcare providers in the VA who are doing really important work for the vets? Nope. They're not in uniform, so they're included. And it seems to me it's so salami slice that I think he'd probably have a hard time getting that through. Does knowing that about the bill make you feel any better?
Yes, but it still is another reason that people will think twice about possibly taking some of those GS 13, 14, and 15 positions. You know, if you're going to accept more responsibility and a higher level of responsibility and not be compensated for it, then you're probably not going to accept that.
And that's the issue that we haven't talked about a lot in the broader community. I'm glad you pointed out in this piece. And that is the message that these kinds of things send to folks who don't work for the government yet, but would be potential cybersecurity professionals and healthcare providers and all of those kinds of specialty folks. It seems to me that's the main gist of what you're trying to get at in this piece, Pat.
Absolutely. It makes it so hard for us to recruit talented people and to retain talented people when we can't compensate them. You know, granted, the government is never going to be able to truly compete with industry for a lot of career fields, and cybersecurity is one of them. You know, we can't compete with the Googles and the Facebooks and all of them for salaries. But what we do offer is the opportunity to serve our country. But we also need to make that as inviting as possible and not keep throwing out these attacks that make it less and less attractive to young people to come into federal service.
As a civilian at Travis Air Force Base, I imagine you've seen some of the coverage of the Military Compensation and Retirement Modernization Commission. Is that a fair assumption on my part, Pat?
Yes.
And I wonder if you think it would be workable to create something like that to study and make recommendations on the civilian compensation and retirement package in such a way that it will be contentious, it might be difficult, and it might take a while. I wouldn't think the recommendations would be as well received and as quickly implemented as some of the ones in the military comp commissions have been. But I would think that the resulting recommendations would give members of Congress a framework and would give federal employees and managers a sense of confidence about where the dialogue potentially could be headed. Is that something that you think might be workable, Pat?
I think it would be workable, and I think it would be a much more fair way than just saying, oh, look, we could get $3.1 billion out of them. Let's take that off of them. Let's hit the federal employees' pocketbooks for another cost savings here or another pay for over here. Because really, and I can't remember who said it, someone a few months ago said it's like Congress thinks that federal employees are their ATM for paying for things. And sometimes it does feel like that. It's if we had a framework where they did a logical study, looked at all aspects of federal compensation, and compared it to comparable industry positions. Don't compare an RN and a working in a VA hospital to someone who changes bedpans in a nursing home. I mean, there's no comparability to someone who maybe does physical therapy or whatever on wounded warriors.
Mm-hmm.
That's a different type of work, and it requires a much higher skill level. It requires a much higher education level than a lot of the public sector or the private sector, positions. So compare like positions with like positions.
I've got a commentary up on federalnewsradio.com right now suggesting that is the way to go, and you crystallize the reason why I think that will work at the end of this piece in the Federal Times. The federal civil service should be the model employer that other employers want to emulate. We should be such an attractive employer that we have young people lining up to compete for positions as their first choices instead of looking elsewhere. And it just strikes me that a real strategy that includes what do we pay people, how do we allow them to move from agency to agency or within agencies? How do we allow them to move out of the government and back in? All of those kinds of things included as one strategy would accomplish exactly what you're getting at there, Pat.
Yeah, I think so. And I think that if we are looking at being a model employer, then we need to be looking at how do we take care of our people?